Hi, everyone. So today I'm being joined by some representatives from the National Garden Scheme, volunteers from Shropshire. In particular, we've got Alison Walter, who is the county organiser, and two volunteers who are opening their gardens up to the general public in the next few weeks. That's Deborah Abel and Karen Scurry. Ladies, welcome. Thanks for sparing some time to have a chat with me, Wayne of InTune Radio, about the National Garden Scheme, which sounds as though it's steeped with heritage dating back to the 20s. And as you mentioned slightly earlier, Alison, almost a 100-year anniversary, not far off. Alison, can you tell us a little bit more about your involvement, how you came to be the county organiser?
Yes, hi Wayne, and thanks for letting us talk to you this morning. It's very much appreciated. As you mentioned, the National Garden Scheme has been going since 1927, and it was set up then to help fund the provision of nurses in the community. This is before the NHS. And a lady by the lovely name of Elsie Ragg came up with this wonderful idea of gardens opening and people being charged a shilling a head to go in. And that's how it started. And it funded training of community nurses in Liverpool and Manchester initially, where particularly to help children and women in the community who had no access to healthcare. And that's what we still do. Now we have over 3,500 gardens across England and Wales. Wow. Who open their gardens. We have 75 in Shropshire, over 105 openings. And it is exactly the same in as much that people come and visit private gardens, a lot of which never open to the public. And we charge an entrance fee. And all that money goes to nursing and caring charities. Now the National Garden Scheme supports Macmillan, Marie Curie, the hospices, the Queen's Nursing Institute, Parkinson's and many others, a lot of which are smaller charities who completely rely on our help. The National Garden Scheme is the biggest single donor now to both Macmillan and Marie Curie. And in our last good year before COVID, the charity raised over £4 million across England and Wales. So it's a very, very simple concept. And of course, initially, when it started, all the gardens were the big estates and, nobody else really had a garden in those days. And interestingly, we still have some of those gardens in Shropshire who are still opening for the scheme. But now, of course, it is open to everybody. And we have gardens, big, small, interesting urban gardens. We still have the big estates. We have the beautifully designed gardens. We have cottage gardens. We have country gardens, anything. And it's a real way of bringing people together. Obviously, it relies on our garden owners to put in a huge effort into their openings, but it's very much about family and friends and helping. And as you mentioned earlier on, we are all volunteers, and it wouldn't work any other way without it being a voluntary organisation. And I'm very proud of being involved, and I've been involved for 12 years now, and done all the jobs necessary to make it happen. And we have raised in that time in Shropshire huge amounts of money for charities. And so it continues. And it's just one of those things that's just part of the sort of the British psyche, really, I think, the National Garden Scheme. If you mention open gardens and the famous Yellow Book, people, if you're a gardener particularly, you know what we're talking about. So it's very well known.
And from your experience then, how long does it actually take to organise? I mean, if the gardens are over for a small pocket of time, I believe, and then what kind of run-up lead time is there in terms of organising, and how can people get involved?
Well, believe it or not, it's a year-round operation. We start in the previous September, October time, when gardens who want to open or we have approached to open, because obviously we're signing up new gardens to take part in the scheme all the time. They register, and then over the winter months, we produce all the materials that we need for publicity, the yellow book I mentioned, which lists every single garden open in England and Wales, all the leaflets for each county. And I mean, in Shropshire, we produce 38,000 leaflets, which our volunteers spread across the county. Uh-huh. And as Deborah and Karen know, we also produce posters and signs and everything that any of our garden owners will need to open. So that all happens over the winter. But we, in a normal year, we would have gardens opening in February for snowdrops. And it runs right way through. Our last openings are usually in October. So you can see that it actually never really stops.
And you're currently retired,
are you?
Hence
the grey hair.
You're probably busier now than when you were employed somewhere, by the sounds of things.
Well, yes, probably.
Debbie and Karen, I mean, you've got involved, I think, recently, and I suppose your gardens are opening soon, and you must be kind of feverishly finishing off the last bits of pruning and planting and making sure everything's looking perfect. Can you talk us through kind of like your experiences, how you got involved, and do you have any influences or parts of your own garden that you absolutely love?
Well, on a personal note, so we got involved through my mother-in-law, who's gardener. Sheila was part of the garden scheme, and she suggested Alison and Sheila come and have a look at our garden to see if it was suitable as one for opening. And then, you know, I mentioned our friend Debbie and Andy, and so they'd be interested as well. So, we got together, had a meeting, and Alison and Sheila felt that they were both suitable as a joint opening, which is what we've decided to do. Even though they're sort of small gardens in comparison to, you know, large stately homes, etc., they're still jam-packed full of interest, which, although totally different, I'm sure people can relate to on housing estates. So, you know, they don't need to be out of people's reach. They're things that anyone can achieve. But now, so since then, we were opening last year on the 10th of July, but sadly that was cancelled. So it's given us a little bit of time to sort of complete projects we'd got in mind and do a little bit more planning. But even so, it still feels like we're running out of time and there's plenty to do. The list is getting longer.
And is that how you... your experience so far of it, Deborah, is the list is still ever growing, and you know what? How do you actually decide when it's finished? I mean,
it just goes on. The list was A4, now A5.
Oh, that's the papers change. That's good.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So that's a little bit, but no, it's. You can go on, and it's wonderful. Absolutely enjoying the experience. It's we've tweaked the garden, and it's, you know, we'll just keep going until the very last minute. Yes. But it's good. It's a really, really good experience for anybody who's thinking of doing this. Karen and I are loving it, and it's been great. Lovely to bounce on. Yeah. To bounce off one another, and we have there's perhaps a gin and tonic involved, but yeah, it's we've enjoyed it, and the gardens, I hope, do the National Garden Scheme proud. I mean, we'd both like to think that, I'm sure.
Yeah, so the big thumbs up from Alison. So, I mean, is there how did you decide, therefore, Debbie, to get involved? Because is this the first year that you've done it? I know the year has been postponed because of COVID, but is this the first time that you're kind of opening up your garden, as it were?
Yeah, it is the very first time. It wasn't something, I don't know if I'm speaking for Karen here, but I don't think it's either of us had ever thought of this or entertained opening our gardens. You know, friends pop round and, you know, we sit in the garden and we hopefully enjoy it. You know, it was something that we got our heads around, and once we realised what was entailed in the procedure, we decided to go ahead. And I got to say, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. Lots of work, lots of planning, lots of lists.
lots of buying of plants and things.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And Alison, do you have like a... almost like a list of what you kind of expect from the gardens that open up, or do you just kind of say, look, that these are kind of like the main things that we are looking for, then it's over to you? How do you direct? And
well, the very first thing is actually the enthusiasm of the garden owner, because we all know how much work goes into it, and you have to have a real feel for it and want to do it, because, you know, it is a commitment. Yeah. And secondly, the gardens have to have personality and interest. We don't ever look for perfect gardens. There is no such thing in my book. Mm-hmm. But there are also practical considerations, such as parking and also the provision of refreshments, which, although isn't, you know, actually compulsory, but it is actually part of the visit. And obviously from the fundraising point of view, it's quite an important income stream for the charity. But it really is the combination of those factors. And you know, when I first met with Debbie and Karen, I mean, I could tell straight away that the gardens were absolutely no problem. They're both absolutely exquisite. And as I talked to them, I realised that, yes, they will do this and they will get behind it. And they got what I was talking about and what it was all about. And I think, you know, particularly at the moment when people know that the money is for nursing charities, and nursing charities that don't get any government funding. So they rely totally on volunteers such as ourselves to raise funds for them, you know, it hits a note with so many people. And you know, the scheme in Shropshire is growing and growing all the time. I mean, even at the moment, in difficult times, you know, in the last 18 months we've had another 20 gardens come forward.
Wow.
So, you know, it part of my job is to organize the day-to-day running of the charity here in the county, but also to look for new gardens, and people are coming forward all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very encouraging.
And how do they come forward? Do they contact you via the website, give you a call? What would be the approach?
Yeah, I mean, lots of ways, actually. I mean, sometimes people will go through the website and it'll come through to myself, or I'll just get a phone call from someone saying, everybody thinks my garden's lovely, but I don't know, would you come and have a look? And that's how it starts. And so many people think they haven't got a garden good enough, which in my book is not the case. I've never known a garden I've visited and it's not been wonderful. Often it's the practical considerations that we have to think about more than the garden. Mm-hmm. It's there's no sort of set rules as such. I don't come around with a clipboard.
Yeah.
Don't own one.
And ticking boxes and so on.
No, don't do tick boxes.
So Karen, I have been fortunate enough to visit your garden, because obviously you're friends with Debbie, and Debbie is a neighbour of ours, so Debbie's garden is obviously amazing as well. You've got some koi carp in your garden and some bonsai trees, and there's all sorts of things going on. Can you tell us a little bit more about
we've been into sort of koi carp for well over 30 years now. We've been at this property for 29 years. We moved in when it was new, and it was bought with the provision that it had a garden big enough to build a koi pond. So before all the boundaries were put in and the diggers were still on site building, etc., we asked the site manager if he could dig a hole for us. My husband Kevin marked it out with a hose pipe and pegged out where he wanted this pond dug. We came home from work in the evening and there was a lovely big pile of topsoil and a great big hole. So that was the start of our proper koi pond, although our previous house we did have a small sort of garden pond. But yes, it's on version 3 now, updated filter systems, etc. And now it's sort of it's constantly evolving as far as a hobby, because technology changes, treatments change, but you know, you have to look after the water and the fish will hopefully look after themselves. Except last night one nearly jumped out and has damaged itself, but
probably a bit nervous.
Yeah, must have been. I got into bonsai trees because, you know, it does complement the koi hobby quite nicely. My mother bought my husband one years and years ago, and he sort of thought, oh yeah, very nice, but it wasn't really his thing, the trees. Anyway, I took it on and I joined the Shropshire Bonsai Society, of which I'm the treasurer now.
Oh, wow. And
I've been in that for about 20 years. We meet once a month, but we're having our first meeting this month, first one since lockdown. So yes, it's been a long time coming. But yeah, the bonsai trees, we've got those around the koi pond. And I'm constantly running out of spaces for them. So things suddenly have to have sort of new places, or I acquire a bird bath stand and thought, bonsai stand there. So it's something that it keeps me sort of occupied. I've never got a dull moment, and being disabled, it's something that I can still manage to do. Some physical things I struggle with. I can't lift the pots up because they are so heavy for me. But it's something that you can have sort of on a bench and just work with and tittle about and lose yourself. It's a very, very relaxing hobby, both the koi and the bonsai. Stressful if things don't go right with the fish, of course.
Yeah, I feel like incredibly relaxed just talking through your gardens. And I know that there's a lot of work involved with opening up, but as you've mentioned, probably the list is almost never going to end. There's always going to be something to do. Debbie, so, I mean, obviously being a neighbour, I've been to your garden as well. You've let me in, which is very kind of you.
You're always welcome, Wayne.
It's very kind. And there's a pond element in yours, and there's fabulous trees. And can you tell us a little bit more about your garden, your inspiration? How long has it taken?
I suppose it's taken off since I left work. So I've got a little bit more time. Yeah. The front garden was always not so full as it is now, but we've enjoyed doing a lot more to the front garden, and we've met friends through it. Lovely lady that goes past, we have a chat with her, mm-hmm. and it's lovely, and it's a real community thing. Mm-hmm. It's people seem interested. The garden itself, the garden itself, we do have a pond that goes around the conservatory with fish in it, and we do have some koi, but not the caliber of Karen and Kevin's, but we do have fish. I love water in a garden, absolutely love it, so any excuse to put water, I'm there. I love it. And I love the trees. I love the aces. We have all sorts of shrubs, different seating areas to spend time. Mm-hmm. So different parts of the garden for different times of the day. Yeah, it's good. It's a relaxing place to be. It's somewhere like Karen. I can switch off, enjoy the peace, the quiet. You know, just going around with a basket and, you know, deadheading. It's wonderful. Love it.
And I believe did Andy dig out your initially dig out your pond?
Yes, he did.
Speaking, with a shovel.
Yes, he did, actually. Oh. Yeah, I think he took 3 tons out of... We did have a small pond there, and we've spoken to Kevin, and see, it's we bounce off one another well.
And Kevin is Karen's husband.
Karen's husband. Yeah. Karen's husband, yes, absolutely. And, you know, as you can tell, they're good friends of ours. And so Andy took a further 3 tons out. By hand, as you said. A lot of it went onto our front rockery, so that helped with that. And it was it's something he loves. He loves looking after the fish, enjoys the experience. They take care, he does put some time into it, but he loves it. Absolutely loves it.
So it's a good health thing, isn't it, as much as and community and
absolutely.
Yeah,
it is very much a community thing. We've learned that through being on the front garden. People have stopped, no end of people have stopped. Mm-hmm. Invariably people will stop and chat. Yeah. And it's about what you got in the garden, what you're doing. They love it. We're trying to include or encourage a lot more wildlife into the garden. Mm-hmm. We do have hedgehogs pottering around here, certain times of the year. Birds, anything. You know, we're just trying to encourage everything. Bees, particularly. It's a lovely thing, and I think, to be able to share it is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. I can't believe it. I'm really. Thrilled to be doing this, really. Yeah. Thrilled.
I mean, you can see, I can see, but people out there won't, but I can tell by your voice that with yourself and Karen how much passion and love you really have for the great outdoors that you can call yours. It's just amazing that these opportunities are around with the National Garden Scheme, that you can kind of plan and do something with the space and let other people enjoy it. It's just amazing. So you mentioned soon, I think maybe when you were during your conversation, when are you opening your garden? When's the date?
We're 16th of July, so yeah. Not too far in the future, so lots of jobs. It is between 5 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the evening. Our garden, we are selling books. We have a lot of books for sale, and we have hopefully a very nice gentleman who will be helping us with that. Yeah. We've got plants. Karen and I both been, passionately potting up plants to sell. We are offering wine for a donation. Mm-hmm. A suggested donation. Yeah. So that people, hopefully, on a lovely summer's night, will be able to walk around the garden with a glass of wine or a cup of tea, cup of coffee, homemade cake.
And enjoy
lots all of homemade cake.
Oh, I'm there. People can enjoy all these different aspects of your garden, all your different sort of seating areas, and see what it's like at those different times.
Oh, absolutely. That's, we do have, like I said, different seating areas. And it's, and perhaps wandering around on the front as well, because we've got a lot of plants in the rockery, a lot of shrubs, a lot of perennials. It's hopefully a very friendly, pleasant evening for everybody.
Yes.
That's the intention, for people to enjoy.
Yes. And where are you located? Where can we find you?
Well, we are 74 Conway Drive.
Yes.
Postcode SY25UY. So we're on Telford Estate, about halfway down. There will be large yellow signs, as Alison said, that the NGS have supplied for us, a nice large banner so that that will go on the front fence, so that anybody passing will be in no doubt whatsoever about what's going on. But it's, as I said, 16th of July, 5 to 9, and hopefully we'll see everybody that night. And Karen, I don't know whether you want to sort your address out.
Yeah, so ideally we'd like people to park up at Deborah's, 74 Conway Drive. Yes. And there will be a shuttle bus available to ferry people down to number 12 Collie Close, and that's just opposite the driving range down Telford Way. We are postcode SY25YN, but yeah, being a close, obviously it's going to be difficult with parking because there isn't any other than the neighbours. So ideally, we'd like people to use the shuttle bus. There is time slots available on the NGS website and tickets available to buy from there. It's £6 entry, which will cover both gardens. So you are getting sort of two gardens for your money, and children will be free as well.
Wow.
There is disabled access at my garden. Being disabled myself, sort of, and occasionally needed to use a wheelchair. There is wheelchair access through most of my gardens. So that's a good point, but sort of sadly not so easily at Deborah's. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting evening. We're all looking forward to it. My husband's going to be by the koi pond selling little tubs of fish food. So little tubs of food to feed the fish, and that'll be another little interesting point because they are quite ravenous. It doesn't take long for that to go down. So you'll spend an evening just watching the fish, I think.
Wonderful. So if people want to find out more, they can go to the NGS website, which is ngs.org.uk. Alison, Deborah, Karen, thank you for joining us at InTune Radio. Really hope the open garden evening goes swimmingly. And wonderful, wonderful work. Can't wait to hear more and catch up again about what happened. Thank you.